My dad actually started out working for the Old Joe Distilling Company, which was an old distillery in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, and finished up working at the Wild Turkey Distillery. My son, Eddie Russell's with me now. He says he's new in the business. He's only been there 33 years now. Most all the people at the Wild Turkey Distillery has been there. Our average length of service right now is about 180 employees. It's 25 years service average. It's all tradition, family with Wild Turkey. We consider ourselves the traditional family way of making Wild Turkey bourbon.
So who was your mentor at Wild Turkey in the early days?
Well, Mr. Bill Hughes was a master distiller when I went there. And he was a young distiller for Prohibition. And he come back and put the distillery in operation. I wasn't kin to him or anything, but more or less he took me under his wing. I started out in quality control. Quality control back in that day and time is a little different than this now. You know, we'd go get our samples. We'd run tests on their grains of corn, rye, barley malt, fermenters, and everything we'd run. We might end up in the grain truck shoving it out before the day's over with. Nowadays in quality control, you go get the samples and you take it to the labs and they do all analysis there. But back in that day and time, you'd done just a little bit of everything.
That's really amazing. So tell me, how do you become the master distiller?
Well, I tease and cut up all the time. Nobody else would have the job. No, it was fortunate that he took me under his wing and started training. And he retired somewhere in the middle 60s. And I took over as master distiller. So I've been master distiller since the middle 60s at the Wild Turkey
Distillery. So you were less than 20 years on the job when you got that designation.
Yes, uh-huh.
How many other master distillers have you trained during your 60 years?
Well, it's been several of them, but most of them, my son, a couple, three more, some of them is retired now. Four is actually working at the plant, but a lot of other master distillers at other distilleries I've had a hand in with them, talking to them, and they come to me and ask questions. Oh, we're in the bourbon business in Kentucky. We're all close friends. We live with an hour of each other, and we're together all the time and enjoy being with each other, so I only live 6 miles away. If I live within a mile of where I was born and raised. My wife worked at the distillery before I did. She was in administration then, and we were married, and she was working there, and I went to work out there. And then when our children come along, she stayed home and took care of the children.
So you met her at the distillery?
No, we went through school together.
Oh, she was your high school sweetheart?
My high school sweetheart.
That's really, really lovely. I'd like to know about, when you look back over your 60 years in the business, what are the major milestones that you feel like you came to?
Well, the thing that I see, basically back when I started, everything was bottled at around 100 proof. We didn't have the lower proof products. Now you have the lower proof, but I see a big trend going back to the higher proof products now, not only in bourbons, but scotches and everything else. But the big trend has been is the small batches, the single barrels and things like that. That's been the biggest trend. And then another thing, you young people, you know, in my age group, old men, they went to their favorite bar in the afternoon, got off of work, they got their bourbon, they got their cigars, and went to the back room and played cards. Nowadays, we run from 21 to my age, everybody's drinking. And one of the big things to me is you ladies. In my younger days, ladies, unless you're maybe here in Louisiana and Kentucky, you didn't go to the bars or anything. You didn't go to the liquor stores. Nowadays, most of the product is bought by you ladies. And I tease and cut up all the time. You made the labels look a lot better. You know, us old men, we knew where our bottle sat on the shelf, and we'd go get it, pay for it, and get home. If you changed position on the shelf, we got home with the wrong bottle. Nowadays, if you're like my wife, the labels looks a lot better because you're going to pick it up and look at that turkey. Look at them feathers. What's it say on the back label? You read everything on it. Us old men, we didn't pay attention to that. We just want to know what was inside, drinking what was inside that bottle. And the export market has been tremendous the last. We're huge in Australia and Japan.
Really?
Big markets for us back in late 80s, early 90s. In my beginning, it was a Southern gentleman's drink. It's a worldwide drink now.
Tell us a little bit about how you make bourbon and the important elements that make a great bourbon great.
Well, in bourbons, our federal government tells you how it's the most heavily regulated product in the world. It has to be made from at least 51% corn, has to be distilled under 160 proof, must be put in a new charred oak barrel at 125 proof or less. So in our process, we use less corn and more rye and barley malt. It gives you more body. That's the way traditional old bourbons were made. Your yeast plays an important factor. We have our own yeast at the Wild Turkey Distillery. We make our yeast every day. And all I can vouch for the yeast, it's at least 59 years old. It was there when I got there, and we're still making using the same yeast. And some people use corn, wheat, and barley malt, but most bourbon distilleries are corn, rye, and barley.
And there's something a little special about that Kentucky water, too.
You got to have good limestone water, good grains, good yeast, and the formulas, and we have all that, and a good barrel. Very important. We use the number 4 char, the heavy char. We call it the alligator skin. Our storage buildings are 7 stories tall, metal-clad buildings, metal roofs, just rolled in and on ricks. We open the windows in the summertime to get the good air circulation. The wintertime, we close them. We want that barrel to breathe. In the summertime, it expands out into that wood. And when you're charring white oak, you're caramelizing the sugars and the vanillas and all. In the wintertime, it extracts in and out. You've got to have that breathing. It's got to move in and out. If it went in that wood and stayed all the time, it wouldn't age. Or if it never got into wood, it wouldn't age. So you got to have that movement in. And the way we age wild turkey, in 8 years, we lose about a third of every barrel.
That's what's referred to as the angel
share?
The
angel share. We got a lot of happy angels around our area.
I'm sure they are.
And sometimes I think it's a little different than that, too. We talk about the single barrels. We call those the sugar barrels. The people that work in those storage buildings all the time knows where the best-tasting barrels are. And they always have a little piece of hose laying there and little cups that they always get to taste. We lose a lot more than a third out of those barrels. We got a lot of angels working in there. What better can you be when you're in the bourbon business and you get to enjoy the life that you'd enjoy?
Looking back, you've described the incredible changes that you've seen happen over the last 60 years. If you could look into a crystal ball and project what you think the bourbon industry might be doing in America and abroad, what do you think might happen?
Well, I look for it to even grow more and more, and I hope so, because we're not making something today to sell tomorrow. We got to plan well in advance at Wild Turkey, 8 to 12 years in advance all the time. If we wait up till the time it comes around, we won't have the product.
Yeah, that's true.
That's happened to us right now in the rye business.
Really?
Rye whiskey is short right now, straight rye whiskeys.
Generally, or just Wild Turkey?
No, all rye whiskey.
How did that happen?
Well, 7-8 years ago, us and Jim Beam was about the only two ryes. Rye whiskey is excellent in mixed drinks. And we'd sort of got away from them, and now we've went back to a lot of the mixed drinks, the cocktails and all. And the rye market shot straight up at one time. And nobody saw that. We was making 1 or 2 days of rye a year and 300 days of bourbon. And now I hope the rye market keeps going, because we've got a lot of rye whiskey we're putting away right now. 7-8 years from now, we've been on allocations for 3 or 4 years. We're still on allocations on our rye whiskey because we didn't see the future that it was going to do that.
Well, what are the trends you see with those micro distilleries?
We're better educated now. We call it micro distilleries starting up. That's the way all the bourbon distilleries got started, was little family-owned distilleries starting up. And over the years, the consolidations and buying up by bigger corporations. But all over America, you know, for many years, people thought bourbon could only be made in Kentucky. But bourbon is a true American spirit, the only spirit in the world was born and raised in Kentucky, but you can make bourbon anywhere in the United States.
Well, I heard that you have been regarded in the industry as the Buddha of bourbon and the master distiller's master distiller. So how do you see your place in America's bourbon world?
Well, to me, I just want to be plain old Jimmy like I've always been. I don't want to be any better than anybody else. We're all the same to me. It's one thing I hope everybody sees me is just plain old Jimmy like I've always been. That's what I want to be.
Well, plain old Jimmy is surely getting some big honors because, let's see, first of all, it's been declared the year of Jimmy Russell in the bourbon industry. And I'd like to know what it means to you personally that Wild Turkey decided to create a special anniversary bottled bourbon for you, the Diamond Anniversary Bourbon. What does that mean?
Well, it's something special. And my son really is the one selected the bourbon for this. He put it together. And then for my 50th anniversary, they done the same thing. But they did. They had me working on the product, and then I thought it was for the company's 150th anniversary. I didn't even know it was for me until the day it was bottled. And now this is my 60th, and Eddie told everybody he selected the bourbon. It's a 13- and 16-year-old bourbon. I've got to give you my personal taste. Most of your bourbons are 4 and 5 years old on the market. To me, they haven't matured enough at that age. I think from around 6 to 12 or 13. I don't like a real old bourbon. We have to use a new barrel every time. And you lose that caramel, vanilla, sweetness. You get too much real woody taste, and all the older it gets. A lot of people like the woody taste. If they do, they like her older. But my personal taste, I don't. And they had the 16-year-old that Eddie set aside several years ago for my 60th. And then he knew that it was a little too woody for me. So he put some 13-year-old in it to cut down the woody taste. And the thing that I'm proud of, being my son, it's got one of the highest ratings I've ever seen. It had a rating of a 97 out of possible 100 in a tasting. Actually, the only place you can get it right now is at the distillery. It's been over $100 million spent on the Wild Turkey Distillery in the last 5 or 6 years. A new distillery, new bottle, and new visitor center. And April 15th, we had the ribbon-cutting ceremonies for the new visitor center. So they bottled up a few special cases only for the visitor center, the Diamond Package. We had visitors from all over the world. All the master distillers showed up that day. I was proud of that. And the governor of the state of Kentucky, they were all our senators, representatives, and everybody was there. So we had a great day that day. Been fortunate. I've had a good working relationship with all the governors of Kentucky.
Well, this has been a distinct and remarkable honor to have this chance to sit down with you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Invite everybody to come and visit with us. I hope you'll come and visit with us. And I hope when you do come by the Wild Turkey Distillery, you'll ask the visitor center if I'm there. I'd be glad to come and show you around. I'd be glad to have you anytime or anybody. That's one thing. I said I'm plain old Jimmy. I try to say hello to all the visitors. I know the tours, times, and everything. And I'll try to go be out and say hello to them or go down to the visitor center in the afternoons and sit around and talk to them. I enjoy being with the people.